Let's open up the scriptures to Matthew chapter 6. The text that we consider is verse 25 of that chapter. And we will read it in its entirety. Matthew 6, this is the word of God. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There ends our reading of the word. The text is verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, on this occasion of prayer day, we stand at the beginning of the spring season. We come together tonight to pray concerning God's provision of us from the fields. This is the time of year that the seeds are planted into the soil, and over time we will watch those crops grow from those seeds into crops that we can see, and then in a few months even harvested from those fields. We come together and we consciously remember on this day that we must pray. That's when we come together, to pray. We recognize that God is sovereign over everything in life and everything in this world. But it's very evident that he is in control when you talk about farming. Because farming and the growth of the crops from the field depends on sunshine and rain and the right temperature of the air. Very evidently, God controls all those things. He's sovereign. So we depend upon him, lean upon him, and trust in him to give us what we need. That's why we come together on this day. To that end, we consider Jesus' words here in Matthew 6, verse 25. Jesus is dealing with food and drink and clothing, the basic necessities for our life and for our body. It's fitting that we look at the basic necessities of life because that's why we're gathered here. We're looking forward to obtaining those basic necessities that we need for our life this year. Jesus is referring to anxiety. That's what he says, take no thought. Jesus is not referring to just any kind of anxiety here. There are some forms of anxiety that are not connected to a specific sin, but they are more medical in nature. Jesus is obviously not referring to that kind. But he's referring rather to sinful anxiety, and even there, not just to any kind of sinful anxiety, but particularly concerning those daily necessities of life and the obtaining of them. This is so basic, isn't it? How many sermons haven't you heard, especially for the older members of the church in your life, on what we need for our existence? But it's always a good reminder, nothing new, but a good reminder, especially as we stand at the beginning of this year, to trust in our Father for everything that we need. So we take as our theme, take no thought for your life. We'll consider that under 3 points, prohibiting divided thoughts. giving rise to a question and implying a positive calling. That prohibition of Jesus, what that is, and then that it gives rise to a question, and that it also implies a positive calling. Take no thought. Thought, that is anxiety. Be not anxious. Anxiety is a mind that is pulled in all sorts of different directions. That's literally what it is here. Anxiety is a mind that is divided with thoughts. It's like a thunderstorm or a swirl of thoughts here and thoughts there and thoughts everywhere in the mind that go around. That's what anxiety is, that kind of division. One thought enters into the mind and it gives rise to another thought. And that one triggers another thought. And that one occasions another thought. Pretty soon, there are 3, 4, 5 thoughts in the mind. All at the same time, they're consuming you. You're worried about them. And even though there are all these different thoughts swirling around like that thunderstorm, none of them have been resolved. And there are the good days when the thoughts aren't there so much. But then there are the bad days. And when you thought that maybe the thoughts are gone, on those bad days, they're right back and they're still unresolved. A divided mind. A couple of illustrations maybe help to understand what anxiety is. Think of your brain and that there are 10 strings attached to your brain. And there are 10 people pulling on each string at the same time. That's what the mind is like, with all those thoughts pulled in different directions like that string. Or think of yourself as in an airport with all kinds of blinking lights, noises, the hustle and bustle of crowds of people, all this activity around you. That's what an anxious mind is like. The effect that anxiety has upon us is that we become distracted. That makes sense, doesn't it? When the mind is divided and pulled apart by all these thoughts, then there's the inability to focus and concentrate on even daily tasks of life. That's what anxiety is. But it has the effect, too, that it has a negative effect on mood and sleep and appetite and all these different things. And you see then how pervasive it is, how it affects even one's health. Jesus says, take no thought. That is, be not anxious of a divided mind. But as I noted in the introduction, he's not referring here to just any kind of anxiety now, or just generally, but specifically anxiety concerning one's life and obtaining the provisions for one's daily existence. That kind of anxiety or worry. That's what Jesus says. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. That kind of anxiety. Life. Daily, physical existence here below on this earth. That's what life is. And the body. Beating heart, breathing lungs, body with which we touch and taste and smell and see, the body through which we live our life here on this earth, this daily existence. But he says, no, it's anxiety concerning that life and body, but especially the provisions that are needed for the continued existence of that earthly life in the body. He mentions food. The meat, any kind of food that we take in. consume, and drink the liquids that we take in and consume. Immediately you're struck with the fact that these are indeed basic necessities. You can't go much more than a couple days, surely without liquids, but certainly more than that, also without food. We need these things. And he mentions clothing or raiment, what we put on our bodies, pants, shirts, undergarments. And clothing in a very real sense too is necessary for our daily existence, because not only do we walk around, we need to have clothes on, but it's a shelter and a protection, especially in warm and cold weather. We need clothing, basic necessities for the life and for the body. That's why we look at these things on prayer day. Even though we do in fact live in an advanced society, and here in this area we live in a rather urban area, things haven't changed from all of history. We still get what we need from the field. Jesus is talking about the basics here. It's from those crops of the field, and we depend upon the rain and sunshine and all the rest for these things that we need. Now he says, take no thought with regard to that life and those daily necessities. Jesus does not mean here that we may not think about and plan for the things of the body and our physical earthly existence here below. That's where the English might be a little bit misleading when he says take no thought. And we know that means anxiety, to come to that in a minute. But Jesus doesn't mean you may think and plan about these things. Of course we do. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, if you recall, in our consideration of the Eighth Commandment, we heard that God created the ant to be an example to us so that we might learn what it is to work hard, to work without even having our boss telling us what to do, and to plan for the season to come. That's the way an ant operates. We learn that we learn from the ant. In our lives, we do plan and we work. Our bodies and the food and drink we take in and the clothing we put on our body, these things are not inherently evil. There have been some people in church history that have viewed the physical things of this life as inherently evil. And their view was this: well, I'm just trapped in the body and I'm stuck here below, but I'm on the pathway to heaven. That's where I need to go, all these other things. I hardly even belong on this earth in any sense of the word. No, we recognize that food and drink and clothing and these things are profitable for us and useful. That's not our view. So Jesus doesn't mean don't take no thought and don't work and plan. He is saying this: don't be anxious about the obtaining of these daily necessities. And there he recognizes a fine line. There's a fine line between thinking about and planning for the things of this earth, and then on the other hand, being anxious. We all recognize that. When is it anxiety, and when is it simply planning and thinking about these things? A fine line, which means that we need God-given wisdom, and we need to consider these things prayerfully. Nevertheless, the prohibition is, be not anxious with regard to these things. Jesus is saying now, with this food and this drink and the things that we have for this life, don't be then of this divided mind with this whole thunderstorm of swirling thoughts so that we're worried about it and we're fixated on these things. It all centers on tomorrow, doesn't it? Whether there's the concern that, well, we're just squeaking by right now, but what about tomorrow? Could be that attitude. Or it could be this attitude: I have enough for today. In fact, I and my family have plenty, but I want more. what am I going to have tomorrow? But in either case, there's a worry, there's a being consumed with it, anxiety. These are the anxious thoughts of a breadwinning husband. He's traveling home from work. He has a half-hour commute home. And during that half-hour commute, he starts to think. He's just gotten done with work, but he can hardly let it down because here are these thoughts. One thought comes into his mind. Am I doing enough for my family? Should I be working more hours? Should I get a second job? And then there's that guilt that starts to come. Am I really doing enough? Then suddenly another thought crashes into his mind. Tuition is coming. Got a couple more kids coming into school. It's only going to get more expensive. And that's right. We have to pay our church budget on Sunday. And I have a big family. I have a number of children, my wife. We're going to make ends meet next month. So he has all these thoughts swirling around at the same time, and they're all unresolved. It's about the basic necessities and the obtaining of those necessities for life. And even though they're all swirling around unresolved, here come a couple more thoughts. Now he jumps over to another thing. I remember my boss told me that there could be layoffs in the next 6 months. What would I do if I was laid off? And come to think of it, I haven't gotten a raise in the last couple of years. And maybe I won't get a raise this year because I know that the boss wasn't too pleased with my performance on a couple of projects. How will I keep up with the standard of living without a raise? You see how all these thoughts come into the mind, and he hasn't even come home yet. Anxiety. These are the anxious thoughts of his wife, too, because she's the one at home. She's the one, perhaps, that sees the needs of the family even more than he does, because she's with the children, and she does a lion's share of the shopping, and she knows how tight things really are. Then she goes to bed, doesn't want to bother her husband too much about it because that will make him upset, but her mind is churning and she can't sleep. Anxiety about the things of this life. Jesus commands against this thinking. He says, take no thought. There's the negative command. There's the prohibition. And notice who says it. Jesus Christ himself. He even begins the text this way. Therefore, I say unto you. And then he says, for you who are anxious, for you who are anxious right now, stop. Stop being anxious. Cease from that. And he says that with all the authority of our Savior. It's a command, and it has to be obeyed, but the comfort and encouragement for you and for me in our anxiety is this. He gives the command, but in the very giving of the command, he gives the strength to obey it. We can tell someone to do something, maybe as parents, but whether a child does that or not is to be seen. But when Jesus commands, he gives the grace and the strength to do it. So we rely entirely upon Jesus Christ to obey this command. And we seek that grace and prayer. And he will give it. Take no thought for your life. The reason Jesus gives this command is what we find in the preceding verses. You'll notice how the text begins, therefore, I say unto you. That therefore links it to the verses that go before. The first reason that Jesus prohibits anxiety is that when we're anxious, what we're really doing is setting our hearts on the treasures of this earth. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He's saying, when we lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt, we set our heart on those things too. That's the problem with anxiety. The second reason that Jesus prohibits these kind of divided thoughts of the mind is that when there's anxiety, we are really serving the things of this earth. That's how he continues. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And just the verses that precede that, he's talking about spiritual vision that's clouded by greed. And now he says, but you can't serve two masters. When a man has two masters, he will obey and be loyal to one, but not to the other, because he has two. And the same thing, when we have both God and mammon, treasures and wealth, as our masters, then he says, we will obey and serve and be loyal to mammon. And that's the problem with this anxiety concerning the things of this earth. And the third reason Jesus commands against this anxiety is covetousness. That's really the root of it, isn't it? To be anxious. It's all about the things of this earth. Are we going to have it or not? Covetousness, that all-absorbing passion for earth's things. There are a couple ends to the covetousness spectrum. On this end of the covetousness spectrum is the rich fool. Remember Jesus' parable? For the rich fool, he wanted to accumulate as much as he possibly could for himself. He had a lot. But he made plans to build bigger barns and so on so he could have more for tomorrow. You might say that that is an anxiety of greed. But the other end of the covetousness spectrum is the kind of attitude that, yes, we're just scraping by and then consumed about what we will have for tomorrow and worried about that. When you're on this end of the spectrum, then you might call that anxiety of fear for tomorrow. Whether it's an anxiety of greed or an anxiety of fear, it's essentially the same thing, and Jesus prohibits it here because he said that kind of anxiety is covetousness. This prohibition that Jesus gives, and for those reasons, gives rise to a question. That's at the end of verse 25. Jesus asks this, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Is not the life more than meat? Here's our life, that physical existence that we live below here on this earth. Everyone knows what life is. And he's saying, now, isn't that life greater than meat or food? Food is temporary. Food is just something outside of ourselves that we consume every once in a while each day. Life is greater than food. And the point Jesus is making is this. We have life. We know that. If we have life, we don't have to worry about obtaining food and what will come tomorrow. Life is the greater thing and food is the lesser thing. If we have life, then of course we'll have food provided for us. Then he says in that second part of the question, is not the body more than raiment? And he applies the same logic here. You and I have a body. Breathing lungs, beating heart, touch, feel, see, body, physical body on this earth. Isn't the body that we have greater
than raiment or clothes? Of course it is, because clothes are, again, just temporary. You take clothes and you put them on your body. Body is greater than clothes. So if we have the body, which we do, and that's the greater thing, we need not worry about the lesser thing. Clothes will be provided with those things. This is Jesus' prescription for anxiety. When we're tempted to worry about these basic necessities of life, he says, step back for a minute and consider the fact that you live. You'll have food. Consider the fact that you have a body. You'll have clothes. No thing to worry about. The greater truth here is that God is the giver of all things. He is our Father, supplies them then. Jesus refers to that later in the chapter, verse 32. For your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of all these things. He's the Father who is the origin of everything. That's Father. And he's not only created everything, but he's the God of providence. He upholds and governs them, and he sustains them so that whatever you and I have, whether it be the food and drink or the clothing that we put on our bodies, it has come from Father, because he's the giver of everything as the God of providence. It's a matter of consistency. If Father has, in fact, given us life, then it's only consistent for him as God our Father to give us that food. And if he has, in fact, given us that body, and he has, then certainly he will give us the clothing for it. God is a consistent God. But it's also a matter of ability. If he's God our Father, who is almighty, powerful God, and if he's given me even life, profound as that is, Almighty God can certainly give meat. And if he's the God who's created the body with all of its intricacies and its detailed, profound creation that is, then certainly God is able and powerful to put some clothes on that body. He's the giver of all things. But if you step back one step further, you see that God hasn't just given us these physical things. He's given to us eternal life. And if God, our Father, loves us and he's given to us life eternal, then of course he will give us things that we need merely for our body and for our life. Consider who speaks these words in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus Christ. He utters them. He's the King of the kingdom. Jesus, who would be later stripped of his clothes, and they would put on him a scarlet robe. Jesus, who would have put on his head that crown of thorns. And Jesus, whom they would insult and buffet and spit upon and later lead to Golgotha to be nailed at the cross there. And Jesus, who would be mocked and ridiculed in those early hours of the cross, and he would refuse to come down from that tree. And then during the period from the sixth to the ninth hour, how he hung suspended on there, suffering the heavy wrath of God upon our sins, so much so that he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then at the end of his suffering, it is finished. Because he suffered there for all of our sins, for our salvation. Jesus Christ gave of his very life for us, beloved. Everything. You're reminded of Lord's Day 1. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? That I belong in body and soul, both in life and death, to that faithful Savior. If God loves you and me so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for our sins, He will give us what we need for a life on this earth. He loves us, and He's willing to do that as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that the prescription for anxiety? He will provide in Christ. We can zero in so much in our day-to-day lives. What are we going to have? The text teaches us, as always, to pull out and say, here's the perspective we have. In Jesus' words, there is an implied positive calling. I grant that this is not found in the text itself, but certainly it's found in the broader context. The implied calling is this, that you and I trust God. If He is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and He has given us all things, we will trust in Him. That's why we call Him Father, because you and I are adopted by His grace for the sake of the blood of Jesus Christ. We're adopted by Him and we're taken into His home, into His family fellowship to enjoy all of His blessings. He looks at us and He says, son, daughter, and we look at Him and we say, Father. Then of course, when it comes to food and drink, what we might even call the small things of life, we will lean entirely upon Him and consciously upon Him. He's Father. Don't be anxious. Trust. You remember what Lord's Day 9 says? That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by His eternal counsel and providence, is, for the sake of Christ, His Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt but He will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body. And further, that He will make whatever evils He sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. For He is able to do it, being Almighty God and willing, being a faithful Father. Yes, we trust in Him. So we pray and pray and pray, not only on this prayer day, but every day of the year, because prayer is an expression of our trust in God our Father. We know that we stand at the beginning of the year, that the seeds have now been planted, and that they will grow and soon be harvested. We don't know what will come with our jobs, our businesses, with our pay, and with our food, drink, and raiment. We don't know exactly these things for the future. So we pray, Thy will be done. And we pray as Jesus teaches us to, a few verses earlier, give us this day our daily bread. We express in our prayers that we do in fact trust in Him. Let's make that prayer now. Amen. Our Father, so provide us with the things that we need this year. And grant that we might not be anxious in our lives. We know that we need Thy mighty grace for this. Strengthen us by the preaching of Thy word tonight, and show to us, as we have seen, that Thou art our Father for Jesus' sake, that Thou art the God who loves us, and that Thou wilt provide everything that we need for this life. So comfort us and encourage us in that. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.